Hey, there we go. Okay. Today is October 20th, 2018. This is a Society of Women Engineers Grassroots Oral History Project interview with Gina Jinke. The interviewer is Troy Eller English. We are at the WE18 Annual Conference in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Gina is a senior life member of SWE. She graduated from Harvey Mudd College in 1987 with a degree in general engineering with mechanical emphasis. Early in her career, she was a design and development engineer for the Space Shuttle main engine at Rockwell International and a business specialist at Hewlett-Packard. In 1997, she moved to the Modine Manufacturing Company in Racine, Wisconsin, and continues to work there presently as a principal manufacturing engineer in engineering systems and estimating. Active since she was a student at Harvey Mudd College, last night Gina became a fellow of the Society of Women Engineers, having served at the local, regional, and national levels. She is also a member of ASME International and a founding member of the Racine Women Engineers Network. She is also very active in the community, actively volunteering in the United Way and Prince of Peace Lutheran Church. Thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome.
To begin with, can you tell me where and when you were born?
I was born in Fontana, California, which is outside. It's like a part of San Bernardino County, outside of Los Angeles area. We moved to Riverside and then later moved to Laverne, which is a suburb of Los Angeles.
Okay. And can you tell me about your family growing up?
My parents were both college educated. My dad was business with PE specialist, and my mother was an art teacher. I was kind of the black sheep in that I enjoyed math and science. It was something that if I knew the formula, I could solve the problem. I didn't have to memorize a lot of dates and stuff like that. I've since have appreciation for history and the other studies, but it was just something that my family was not necessarily. And once I got to calculus, my dad basically said, "You're on your own." but they were always very supportive of me, and there were a couple engineers in the outside of my immediate family. So I kind of looked towards a distant cousin who was a civil engineer, and he was building cities in Bahrain, which was very exotic, out in the Middle East. So I thought, oh, that'd be great. So so initially, that's kind of the direction I went with civil engineering. But in my high school, you basically had two. If you were good in math and science, you had two options: actuary or engineer. And it just seemed like, not knowing too much about actuary and having an engineer distant cousin, it's like, I think engineer sounds much better.
So what was your experience like in high school? Were your teachers helping to propel you towards engineering?
Yeah, I think in high school it was actually pretty supportive. I think middle school was kind of interesting because I did have one male teacher who told me that girls aren't supposed to be good in math and sciences, and so that was like, I'll show you. So it was probably a little more motivating than not. I actually had a female math teacher who was extremely supportive in high school. And all my, actually, male and female teachers were generally pretty supportive. So that was a nice environment.
Okay. What led you to Harvey Mudd College?
I guess I was all of 7 miles away from Harvey Mudd College. So I knew of the school. It had a very good reputation. At the time, due to financial reasons, I basically thought I could get at least 1 year into Cal Poly Pomona and get as many undergraduate classes as I could to prepare me so we wouldn't have to pay the full tuition, the full 4 years. So it was more of a financial thing. But eventually, once I got in, they understood I was serious. I was working with them to transfer classes. I got more scholarships and stuff. But my family was pretty middle class. My mom was basically a housewife, and my dad was a government worker, so we weren't too wealthy. But so at first it was a little intimidating, but I knew it was a good school and they were willing to work with me, so it was all good.
What was your engineering experience like?
What
was your college experience like?
It was very, very positive. I mean, there were still some teachers. Harvey Mudd is a very small school. At the time, I believe there was 10 women in all the STEM degrees. So, and that was out of a class of 100. So it's, you know, then that was engineering, chemistry, everything. So it was interesting. I didn't, can't say a negative. It just wasn't not always real positive, but the college itself, and just the fact it's small, I think, and everybody knows it's a hard school. There, in general, the class body is very supportive. You do a lot of teamwork. And so it was fun working on projects together, you know, male and female. Like I said, I don't think I had a real negative. There was some that I think professors are a little not sure about having women. You know, some of the older professors were just kind of, But I can't say there was any obstacles per se.
Okay.
But yeah, it was.
Can you give an example of those professors who were maybe confused?
Or
was it just a general sense?
Yeah, I guess I couldn't really tell you. I mean, I know other women that did have negative experience, so I guess just the fact of knowing that there were other women, not necessarily in engineering, but again, because it was such a small group of women, it happened that most women in the entire college were a member of Society of Women Engineers, regardless of background, because that was the only women's group per se, the whole thing. So it was kind of neat from that standpoint. So you got to talk to other women saying, you know, well, that, you know, if you can't avoid this teacher or that teacher.
Okay.
So you had a little bit of that. And you know, so it was, like I said, I can't say I had any negative experiences, but knew other women who kind of had a tough time of it. So it's just kind of one of those you kind of looked out for.
Okay. So... What it seems like everyone joined SWE then, basically.
Yeah.
So what did you do in SWE?
It was mostly networking. We did have some outreach to some of the grade school girls in the area, did some things like that. Most of it was just kind of get together and just kind of, like I said, network. I mean, we did one of the pranks that we had. We Harvey Mudd is known for its pranks. It was kind of in rivalry with Caltech at the time, and there was a couple things that went on that kind of went back and forth. But one of the things the women engineers did is they had this statue. They called it Venus de Mud. And so it was basically a nude figure. And so we actually put a house coat on her. It was the middle of a koi pond, so no kois were damaged. We're injured in this prank. But that was one of the things we decided to do. Just something, you know, just is like camaraderie. Just, like I said, there just wasn't much... much in the way of, you know, any interaction. Actually, the year before I was there, two years ago, we actually, so the Harvey Mudd is part of the Claremont Colleges, and there is a women's school, Scripps. And before, it was not co-ed, there wasn't co-ed living spaces, so actually all the women had to live at Scripps College. So this is, it only was recently that they actually had women come on to the campus, and you know they had women's wings and stuff, but that was kind of, you know, it was encouraging at that point because you actually could study with the guys and not worry to have to get locked out of Scripps because they had curfews and all this kind of stuff for having the guy, making sure the guys don't get in. So it was definitely better when I got in.
Sure. Did you do any co-ops or, you know, any research assistant type jobs while you were
I took a couple positions. The first engineering internship, actually, I mentioned civil engineering, and when I was at Cal Poly, I entered as a civil engineer. Mm-hmm. And so I actually took on, prior to starting with Harvey Mudd, I took on an internship. Ended up... My home was about 30 minutes away from downtown Los Angeles, where my dad worked. And so he ended up talking to somebody he took the bus every day, and he ended up talking to somebody. He says, "Hey, we've got a civil engineering firm," and he started, "Hey, I got a daughter who's interested." So I ended up getting an internship in downtown Los Angeles.
Okay.
So that was kind of fun.
Okay.
But I think the thing that was interesting, I think in retrospect, I think that was one of the things that I did take as different. So I was a female intern. There was one female full-time engineer. She actually had her master's, and I don't know that all other the other men in the group had master's. She was doing some of the tedious work I was doing. You know, there's a device, but basically you trace, you look at the profile of what you're going to be cutting and filling for a road. And she was, they had me using this planometer to map out the amount of cut and fill, and she was doing the exact same thing. And so it was kind of a note to self, okay, well, maybe I don't want to be a civil engineer, but I don't know if it was necessarily civil engineering as much as the experience I had seeing a woman with a lot more education than the guys. And so it was kind of the first time. It's like, So that was one of my internships. Another one was more positive. It was kind of fun, actually. It was like really fun. They, through SoCal Gas, they hired a bunch of college interns to do gas, basic energy audits to different businesses. And so it was like all college kids all getting together for pizza at lunch. And like I said, it was just a very positive experience just because everybody was on the same playing field. Everybody was earning the same amount of money because we didn't talk about it. So it was like that was much more positive and more cooperative type activity. So,
sure. Yeah. So you mentioned that one negative or mm-hmm. Negative impression that you mm-hmm. got mm-hmm. at your civil engineering internship. Mm-hmm. When did you make the decision to switch from civil to mechanical?
Well, I guess Harvey Mudd kind of dictated it. They, being a small school, they don't necessarily have specific engineering degrees. So mm-hmm. it was always, if you were going to get an engineering degree, it was a general engineering. So you basically got to choose your emphasis.
Okay.
I didn't care for electrical, so it kind of was electrical or mechanical, sure. And I actually enjoyed materials and some of the more mechanical coursework, so that's kind of where I went.
Okay. At that time, did you know or have an idea of where you wanted your career to go, what you wanted to do? Did you have a 5-year, 10-year plan?
No idea. Well, you know, I guess growing up with not having engineers in my immediate family and having one bad experience with civil engineering, I didn't have a lot to work with. At the time when I graduated, there was a lot of things through government trying to hire women. So the first job, there was quite a few jobs that were available to me, or at least available for interviewing, and they kind of went through our resume, you know, all the women engineering groups, basically everybody knew. They were going to get picked kind of by the same group, you know, government contractors and things like that. So there was a number of opportunities available to me, and space shuttle sounded like a pretty good gig. I mean, the thing that's kind of funny because, I mean, there's some people that just studied, you know, all their life to become aerospace, and, you know, I'm just hearing some of the women talk at this conference. They were saying, yeah, I wanted to be an astronaut from when I was, you know, a little kid. It's like I just kind of fell into it and was just very blessed to be at the right place at the right time.
Sure. Can you talk about that job search?
It was, like I said, pretty easy. The Harvey Mudd, the career counselor or whatever, they basically packed together all the resumes of all the collegiate students that were going to be graduating. And they sold it to different industries or exactly how that worked. So they kind of sought us out. Okay. So it was kind of a pretty painless, actually. So it was actually pretty easy at that time. I know things have changed a lot.
Sure.
But at that time in the early 80s, it was not so early to mid 80s, it wasn't so bad for women in engineering.
Okay. Your first job out of college was for Rockwell. Mm-hmm. Tell me about what you were working on there.
I was working on, we were working on the main engines, which are the three main engines you'll see if you ever look at the pictures of basically when it blasts off. That's basically the key thrust to the entire unit. We were working from more of a mechanical standpoint. So if there was so you're basically building one element for, can't remember exactly how long it took to complete, but it took quite a long time to complete that one engine. And so if there was any kind of process that, you know, if you did a weld and when the weld leaked, we have to figure out, okay, well, how are we going to repair it? So we develop the repair and then provide that information to NASA and then say, okay, this is the way we're going to repair it, then get the blessing, and then we'd supervise that repair. So kind of like a material review of the entire manufacturing process for that particular element. So yeah, so it's kind of cool. So kind of combined the materials, doing things with stresses and looking at like heat affected zones on welds, and so it's kind of a little more materials background. So it's kind of was kind of nice for me because I like that stuff.
What was the atmosphere like there?
It was interesting. So my first, actually, in my interview, I had a very straightforward, straight shooter supervisor, and he kind of set me in the interview. He said, "You do realize why we brought you in?" I'm thinking, "Oh, I have this awesome degree from this awesome school, just really filling myself up here." He said, "No, we need women. We need women because we've got a recovery contractor. We need women." It's like, okay, well, that's a pretty low bar. I just happen to be the right gender, And so it's like, okay, well, at least I know it was kind of nice. They didn't have super high expectations, but, I knew I could succeed because, like I said, they didn't have much of a bar. So, I mean, it was a little deflating, but it's like, okay, well, that's all right. And one of the first times, I think it was my supervisor or one of my coworkers kind of take me around to the manufacturing facility. I was mistaken for the secretary. It's like, okay. So, and it was kind of nice because there were a couple other women engineers that were coming in. I can't say there was a majority, but there was probably at least 15-20%, which was more than my school. So, it was okay. We were all the new engineers were all the same age. We kind of bonded as a group and just kind of did stuff and, all kind of starting out the same place at life. So it's actually a very positive, both from work and just a networking, social environment. It was fun.
Did that boss ever soften up, I guess, or?
I think, once you realize, okay, I guess we made the right decision in hiring you, it was like, okay. Because I don't think he was ever, other than, just said being a super straight shooter, it was okay. I guess I would have rathered him be upfront with me and then for me to find out that, we didn't expect much because you're a woman type of deal.
Right.
So. I just was kind of, okay, it is what it is.
Now, you were you involved in SWE at this point?
Kind of in a periphery. Okay. Being in Canoga Park, and a lot of the things were done either downtown or further away. L.A. was pretty geographically challenging in some ways, just because it would take an hour to get most places at least. I went to a couples, I was basically a member. I wasn't very active at that time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What led you to Hewlett Packard?
Okay. Well, then, this was more my future husband. We met at Rockwell. He actually was originally from Wisconsin and did not care for the city life. So he actually moved to Northern California. And we just kind of kept touch and eventually got engaged, and I moved up there with him. So that's kind of what drove me up there. But then being out of work, it's like, okay. And at that time, the aerospace industry was kind of going through a recession. And it was different than there was this latest recession in that it was just one industry. So, but the thing that was kind of interesting about it was here me with my 7 years experience was competing against the same aerospace engineers with 20 plus years of experience. So it was kind of a challenging thing. So I went in as a contractor at Hewlett Packard. It was a different experience in that it wasn't real technical, but I got a sense of, understanding sales and the business side of the business. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting to me just to kind of get back to that more service, more support, which actually ended up being a benefit for me in my later career. So just kind of getting a feel for what that was like.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I think I read in your fellow packet that it was during this time that you created like a resume service.
Yeah, and actually that's when I did get much more into SWE. So I was kind of we were in Sacramento, and there was kind of two different sections. There was one that was more affiliated with more of the Hewlett-Packard Intel group, and then there was also one that was more focused on like the UC Davis, more the government with the Sacramento area. So I kind of floated between, but eventually worked with the Sacramento group, Sacramento Valley. And at that point is when I got more engaged. And it was kind of a neat group. Again, just that was kind of my first introduction of working as an officer or just kind of the key core group for a section. And so I developed the job database, which is probably a little self-serving because I was still, even though I was working in the business area, I was really looking for more engineering, more technical work at the time. But it made some really good connections, planned a lot of meetings, did a lot of outreach. So just kind of got used to the idea of what it was like to be part of a section. I did go to a number of region meetings at the time, and so because it just kind of got interested in more giving back, you know, and trying to figure, you know, even though I wasn't strictly, you know, working in the engineering, at least I felt, you know, I was connected to the engineering community through SWE, Sacramento Valley.
Okay. Do you feel like your involvement at that time impacted your career at all?
Well, it did fulfill me because I felt, you know, it's kind of a leadership role than I was taking at work. So I guess that's one thing that I've always found through SWE. If you want to try something out, you know, if you want to try being a leader, actually at Hewlett-Packard, I did Toastmasters and various things like that. Just to kind of, it's like, how do I push myself through a professional development when I don't really have that real good, at the time didn't have a real strong connection with my career, but I just kind of keep developing myself in different ways as, you know, as I was looking for the next spot.
Okay. So. So tell me about your move back to Wisconsin.
Yeah, that was mostly driven. So he was kind of at a point, my husband was appointed in his career where he kind of said, I'd like to go back to Wisconsin. And where his family was. And at the time, it's like I didn't have any engineering leads at the time. I was like, yeah, sure, let's go. it ended up, so he got a position with Case. And the one person we knew in Racine, Wisconsin, where he was based, was a distant relative who used to be affiliated with a hiring manager at Modine. So I did end up meeting this individual, and he said, I can't promise you a job, but I'll know you will get your resume read. It's like, that's all I need. So, so that was, the rest is kind of history. Then I got into Modine, okay. that route. So it was nice.
Okay. Can you tell me about your job when you were first hired in? What were you working on?
So I was a manufacturing engineer. At the time that was working for the truck division. And there was certain things that I think initially the new person takes the jobs nobody wants, but the job that I was kind of assigned to was working with getting all our documentation aligned with ISO quality standards. And actually I was very interested in finding out what's this all about? How does this work? How does this work into the implementation of different projects? So I got more project related background, but at the same time, the job was also building machines for the heat transfer products that we were working at different facilities. So I kind of got process experience plus project management experience, which ended up really translating very well into working more product transfers, where you have to meet all the quality requirements, and some of the customers are more, especially the ones that are more affiliated with the truck industry and the automotive, they've got a very, very strict guidelines of how you actually transfer products and the different tests you have to go through and different different steps you have to go through to qualify the project before it physically moves. So they assure that you're not just dumping it in in a facility that they're not going to meet, you know, the quality requirements or the key delivery requirements at the same time. So, like I said, I think it was a good transition in just, you know, project management, quality, and manufacturing. I also did get a little bit involved with industrial engineering in doing, you know, tack time and understanding, you know, how to meet our throughput requirements, especially early on in the project, after being transferred, to make sure we can meet our delivery requirements from that standpoint.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. What was it like at Modine? Like, how large was it? How many people?
I mean, it wasn't a particularly large. So we were, at the time, we were divided up into customer segments. So there was a truck division, so that would be like Class 8, large trucks. There was also an automotive division. We had a heavy duty, more the off-road, agricultural type vehicles. And so we did have processes that were common. So we would work together in different, you know, so if you were doing, I started out in copper brass product. So if there was a copper brass product also in the heavy duty sector, I'd work with those plants and, you know, making sure we had best practices back and forth and understanding that. So I found it very collaborative. Like I said, I've really enjoyed, you know, working with all those individuals. And I guess the thing that was kind of interesting was I was always a little nervous when working in some of the transfers and how I was going to be accepted. But I really didn't have any issues. It was, I guess the one I probably was mostly concerned about was when going to Brazil, because I heard all this stuff about, you know, the machismo and, you know, the real macho type of attitude. But I maybe just the fact I was from the United States, it wasn't as much of a deal, you know, maybe that gave me more credibility. But yes, I never had that as an issue, and I don't know if my manager at the time might have kind of smoothed things over from the front end too. I guess I didn't really know how all that worked out, but it worked out wonderfully. Yeah, so yeah, my first supervisor, of my 21 years, I think he was my supervisor for probably 15 of those years. And like I said, was just a really good mentor and very, very good supporter of you know, the activities I did. So.
Okay. What are some of the key contributions that you've had at Modine?
I think I worked on so many product transfers, and I got really good at that. Once you figured out the process and, you know, understood the customer, I'd make a point to go and, you know, make sure I understood what their requirements were, working with getting all the resources together. So I think project management was probably my key strength in that, most of that activity. And so that's kind of what I guess I enjoyed it too, having a project, seeing the project from finish to end, was kind of a nice part of the job.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, listening to you talk, I don't get the sense that your gender was really noticed there, or you know,
yeah,
it was never.
I mean, I don't think it really bothered me. I mean, I think there's things that may bother, you know, I just don't think I took things to heart. I mean, I guess I always kind of felt like one of the guys, and I didn't try to make an issue of it. And yeah, you know, I guess it's kind of funny with all this Me Too stuff. It's like, you know, you feel like, well, maybe I wasn't pretty enough. Or, you know, it's like, but I mean, I know there were women who went through that, and I could empathize with them, or at least, you know, do what I could for them. But I never really had a sense of any of that. I don't know. Maybe just
women at your company, or just women and like other women engineers.
Other women engineers in demo, or other women I've met through SWE. Okay. And, you know, I'd never, like I said, if anything, I don't know if this was made, but perhaps it was the culture of my work. They, people were pretty respectful. In one situation, it was kind of interesting. It was almost the reverse. So I was a project manager for one of the product transfers for one of the plants, and they had a transitional plant manager. So he was not living in the area, but he knew the area very well. It's like, hey, let's go out to dinner. It's like, hey, sure, let's go to dinner. He ended up apologizing we didn't ever eat dinner again because he ended up knowing somebody at that restaurant who was giving him a hard time, thinking that we were having some kind of side affair or something like that. It's like, where's your wife in all this? You know, it's like, wow. So the only thing I could see as a disadvantage is maybe because the men at my employer were so conscientious about not being, you know, my husband eventually worked there. So I think that was probably additional, you know, there's a little additional thing going on there. It's, I think people were more conscientious to make sure there was no harassment or any overtures or things like that, to almost the point of it may excluded me. You know, where the guys go out and go play golf or they do this, it's like, we're going to go do this. You know, I think if anything, it was more exclusion, just so there wasn't a proprietary, any things of impropriety. And it wasn't one other thing that I thought was funny was in Brazil, I'm of Italian heritage, and I'm, you know, very using my hands and very emotional and this and that. And, you know, when I go to Brazil, you kind of do air kisses and things like that. That's just kind of common. You know, that's just very, very kind of comfortable for me. Well, we had a visitor from Brazil and I did that. And then all of a sudden someone asked me, Gina, what's your husband going to say? It's like, nothing. Nothing happened. So it was just, you know, I think it was almost to the opposite effect of what a lot of people, or not a lot of people, but things that you hear of. It's comforting to know that I didn't feel bullied or harassed in that way. But like I said, it was almost to the other extreme where I felt excluded in some things.
Okay.
So it's kind of a different, just a different outlook. But like I said, it wasn't negative. It just was... It's okay, I guess. You know, you just kind of, I guess you just deal, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So what drew you to Sween, Wisconsin? You know, if you didn't feel like you were facing overt challenges.
Yeah. So. I guess with such a positive experience in Sacramento. And unfortunately, I had a job, but I still felt inclined to give back in any way. I had a wonderful section president at the time, Lisa Henn. She was very encouraging and saying, hey, we need this position. You know, she would want, you know, one of those people that physically called all the, you know, most of the new members and kind of invited them in. And so very, very welcoming. I just kind of felt very close to the group. Although we were pretty geographically diverse, more so than Los Angeles, now that I think about it, but just very encouraging. You know, at the time I didn't have children, so I'd go to Madison, you know, 2 hours away to go to a meeting in Madison or somewhere, or Green Bay or wherever, so it wasn't as big of a deal. And it was just a very encouraging group of women, and like I said, just felt very comfortable. She kind of gave me as much responsibility as I wished to take, which I was the public relations, eventually became treasurer for 12 years, but kept in touch with, you know, tried to keep in touch with as many of the women, these fantastic women that I could, just really good role models. And, you know, some of the ones that did have kids, and when I had small kids, like, well, you know, you had someone to compare to. I can't say there were that many women at Modine, so that was, you know, it just helped out. Say, hey, have you ever felt this? Or have you ever done this? Or how did you react in this situation? So it just, like I said, just a really good support group. Plus, I felt like I was giving back and being able to, you know, encourage the next generation through outreach, or if we wanted to do professional development, whatever kind of activities, we just kind of could do the meetings as we wanted to. And so it's very free and fun, yeah.
Okay. Can you talk about some of those activities?
Yeah, we did So we did do some joint activities with Marquette and had like a personality test. We did some things with Rockwell Automation and again had some kind of professional development activities. I'm trying to think what else we did. We did a number of activities with Girl Scouts and so just kind of a lot of different activities. Did actually the fun one that we used to do on a regular basis, they had a STEM day at the Discovery Museum in Milwaukee. So that was kind of fun. So just like I said, just do different things and get to meet the next generation of women engineers and find out what they're doing. And this is very encouraging and supportive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. excuse me. So what led you to become active? You know, you were doing things with your section. What led you to become active, you know, regionally and you know, at the society level?
Yeah. I guess I liked, I liked being a treasurer. So I, I actually tried a couple times to be regional. And at the time I kind of said, okay, I'll take a break. And then, one of our former presidents became the governor and she said, hey, we need someone as treasurer. Would you like to do it? I said, yeah, of course. I'd love to do it. So I it was something I jumped into. It was a little challenge. I mean, the activity I think at the region level isn't as challenging in some regards because we did a lot of changes with the Wisconsin section. We became we did the scholarships. We got we raised money for scholarships. We did a lot of work to become a nonprofit, and there was a lot of paperwork to get through the Wisconsin, all the Wisconsin state documentation to make sure we had our incorporation. So it was a lot of things I didn't know about. We had to kind of, back when you had to call everybody and try to get someone on the phone to talk to because there was nothing on their website. And so that took a little bit to reinstate all that. So there was a lot of work on that end to get incorporated. So that all that stuff didn't have to do that at the region. So in some ways it was easier. I think the hardest thing that I did in region was dissolving the section. Mostly because I don't think people realize how hard it is to spend money knowing that it's the last time we can spend it. So there's endowments that people are to memorials for people, you know, so there's a lot of things of emotion. We had just a lot of, you know, how do we spend the money, you know, using, you know, trying to get as many people into the decision making of how to spend the money. Do you spend it on collegiates? Do you spend on professionals? Do you spend on both? Travel grants. Well, how should we spend this money? There were just so many ways to go, and there wasn't really a good map of how to do it, you know, which I think they did it on purpose because they wanted everybody to determine their own way. Mm-hmm. But it was just a little bit of a challenge to make. You know, they're going to have people that may not like all the decisions, but at least I felt like we got as many people at the table as possible. So I actually liked that. I mean, it was kind of a stretch for me because I really hadn't done a lot of things at that level, you know, involving so many people and trying to get consensus. So again, from a leadership standpoint, that was just kind of a neat opportunity for me. And I really appreciate the region governor for giving that opportunity to do that, not realizing what I was getting into at the time. But that was a good experience. And through that, I believe it was at Nashville, they had a kind of a call for people to kind of input on the governance. So knowing regions was going to be dissolved and I was planning on trying to ride this through, I got involved with the governance activities as much as I could and at least giving input from, you know, what I saw or what I knew about to input on how we wanted to dissolve the regions and places we needed help and, you know, just from discussions with others as well as things that I saw in the last few years. That was kind of a nice opportunity. And then also getting involved with the society region dissolution activities, task force.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was, like I said, that was kind of a fun opportunity.
Okay. I believe I read in your fellow packet that sometime around 2000 or 2001, maybe that was a different interviewee. I read that you had to serve as interim president at a time when you
that was a challenge. So Lisa Hand had left for Sweden. So she left. We end up getting another lady in as a president. She then was going through cancer treatments, mm-hmm. and so she was not available. And so it was me and basically the only elected official left. So yeah, I was basically lone acting officer for the section, and at the same time I had a newborn. So I was kind of in. it was a little bit challenging period. Just got like not knowing what to. Yeah, you know, I didn't have family in the area, so my mom had recently passed away. So it's like I was kind of a little bit alone. and about the same time, so they had actually Nora Lynn at the time was our. I'm not sure what they were called, leadership coaches at that time, but with she basically was her section cheerleader. And I think she also told me that we were in the running for the to have a conference. I think it was 2006, I think, for Milwaukee.
Four,
hear me right.
Yeah.
2004. Okay, 2004. I just knew it was right around the same time, and it's like, oh my goodness, how are we going to do this? I was like, I was ready to cry because it's like, I could barely hold this section together. I mean, we had quite a few people, but there wasn't a lot of FaceTime. I didn't really know anybody. You know, once Lisa left, it was like, it was like, there was like a whole group of people that just kind of either took on different jobs or went someplace else. And I'm like, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this? I've got a newborn. I got this, you know, and we're going to have region conference. It's like, oh my goodness. So yeah, that was a little bit of a low time. But I mean, fortunately, actually even though she was absent, Lisa Hen was working in the background, and she identified kind of the next, so that after that period of time, she identified somebody who was interested in being the president. So God bless her. she was definitely kind of always there in the background for quite a while just to help us out. Yeah.
So how did you manage or survive during that period? Like,
it was a struggle. It was a little bit tough. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, it was just one of those, is like trying to keep track of them, you know, I'm trying to think, how did we do that? I don't remember how, maybe it was kind of a blur, you know, maybe that's it. I just kind of blanked out and some of it just baby brain and everything else. just kind of tried to keep it together. We did a couple panel discussions and different things. And I think actually that's when I met the future president. We had pulled as many people as I could get together for kind of panel discussions. I think that was it either Marquette or MOSOE. We just, you know, did a couple meetings as we could. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of keep some kind of member engagement. But it was a struggle. But like I said, I don't remember a lot of it. It's probably on purpose, you know.
So when did you return back to work after maternity leave?
Oh, right after.
Right after?
Yeah. No, I didn't really take a... I never really was around babies. And I love my daughter. I mean, she's 17 now. So I love my daughter, but it was just one of those, I just wasn't a baby person. For as bad as it sounds, I needed adult stimulation and talking to adults and doing problem solving and doing the things that I did best. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, so she was a daycare baby. Fortunately, I was in a volleyball group, and one of the gals in the volleyball group said she would watch her with her kids. And so it was with somebody I knew, so everything was good there. But mm-hmm. it was just one of those, yeah, it definitely takes a village. So yeah, so she helped out in a snap. It was really worked out wonderfully.
Okay.
So she had, you know, she got to play with other kids, and mm-hmm. it was all good. Yeah.
How have you integrated, you know, your family with your career over the years?
So. My husband's been very supportive. So with all the plant transfers and product and machine tryouts and things, I actually was the person who traveled the most in our family. So he was the one doing the homework and with the kids, and he just was extremely supportive. He's also an engineer, but his job was more tied to computers. He did more virtual testing. Computational fluid dynamics and finite element modeling and more things that kind of kept him close to home. Mm-hmm. So that's actually worked out really, really good. There was one incident where I was away, and I actually at that time I had two children. So my son was two, I think. My daughter was four, and she developed pneumonia. And so he had to rush her to the hospital. Unfortunately, I had a friend, one of the neighbor friends, end up taking my daughter. She had a daughter of similar ages. So I just kind of relied on friends because we didn't have any family in the area. So because I've been blessed to have other people, I think one of the things that they said is always ask for help, and usually you'll get it, So that's kind of been... kind of worked for me. Fortunately hasn't been too many times I had to pull anything, but it did serve me well.
Okay.
But I think, I guess I'm hoping, and then this is something I kind of reflected on. Actually, my sister was here for the awards ceremony. We kind of talked about it earlier this week. And I guess I always got the sense my mother had, her background was an art teacher. And both my parents were married later in life. So she kind of had a career and basically gave up her career to become a stay-home mom. And there was always a sense in me that she wasn't happy. She wanted some other fulfillment, and I think I kind of got that. And I guess I kind of want that for my daughter, to see that you can fulfill yourself and be a parent. And She's kind of surprised me, because there's been a couple times that's kind of got me a little emotional, where she like would say, you're my role model, or saying, this is the, I see you doing all these things, and I'd like kind of like that for myself. And I'm going to get a little misty eyed. It's like, you're supposed to be a sassy teenager. But yeah, so there's been a couple times, where she kind of will say something like this. So I just hope that, and even if she wants to be, it's what she would want to do, not dictated by, her marital status, or by her, what she feels that society's dictated to her. So.
Mm-hmm. Do you think your children will become engineers?
Probably not. Well, my son might. He likes math and science. My daughter, she can do math. So I'm like, she's doing very well in math and science. She doesn't enjoy it. But at the same time, I guess, again, I'd like to give her the freedom that I had as growing up and doing the things that fulfill her. Mm-hmm. She's now looking at possibly art therapy. She likes art, and I told her art and. So she's looking art and psychology, because my mom was art and education. So sure. I was like, I've got that as an example. Do something that's employable. So she's looking at art therapy as a possibility at Madison. We'll see. Who knows? She might do research. She might, it's hard to say at this point. What she gravitates towards. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you think that SWE has impacted your career?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it just gave me more confidence. So before I did any lead, so I now do, I am a supervisor for interns and lead projects, both the project management, as well as, like I said, I do have a couple direct reports. I think it just gave me a lot more confidence. As a volunteer, it's not to say that the bar is a little low in that they know you're a volunteer, But at the same time, there's a deliverable. And I think the individuals, Lisa and other people in Sacramento Valley, and then the Region H, Patricia Walker, the Region H governor, they've all had confidence in me that I could do it. And I think through that, you do it, and then you figure out, okay, I can do this in the workforce. You know, I could be a leader. I can do those things. And then when the project comes along, you can show them, I can do this. Okay, well, we can give you more. So I think from that standpoint, it definitely has helped me a lot. It helped me, like I said, doing the job database. You know, it's like, okay, well, you know, we'll see what I can find. You know, so I mean, it was a bit self-serving. It's a bit self-serving, but I felt, you know, you make the connections. It's a networking, mentoring, being able to see the next generations, really encouraging. I always tease people that I think that the Society of Women Engineers, one of their direct goals is kind of to obsolescence, because if we get to a point of parity, there's really no reason. You know, I won't see that in my lifetime, or don't think I will. Not to say I don't wish for it, but it's just a very encouraging group. I always learn at every conference and reinforce things that I may have forgot. So yeah, it's been an extremely positive aspect of my life.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Are there any projects or initiatives that you've worked on within SWE that you are particularly proud of, or particularly proud of?
I mean, I like working on outreach. I can't say I'm probably that's. I guess I like to work on the financial area. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a funny thing, because I never really considered myself even think about going through anything in financial, but I gravitate towards that. So I'm just kind of interested in probably future would be working on the financial committee, and just kind of see what roles would kind of fit. I've worked on documentation and understand, you know, kind of presenting that. So I guess I kind of a nuts and bolts project. I'm very supportive of the mission, and you know, I'm willing to work as a worker bee, but I can't say as leading other than maybe in the financial group.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you hope SWE will do in the future? What do you think SWE should focus on, or what would you like to see SWE focus on in the future?
I guess it. I just kind of from my standpoint with Modine, like I said, real small scale. I'm just. I guess if kind of developing the tools to have small and medium companies realize how to get to diversity, because I guess right now in my company, there's the words to say we are diverse, we want to be a diverse and inclusive company. But to really figure out how to bring that more to the forefront and make that, you know, if that's giving me tools, or at least showing them tools and saying, okay, if you really want to get there, this is the way to go. So I'm not sure if that's maybe partnering with some of the CPCs and saying, okay, this is how we did it, or even if there's CPCs that are medium. I don't know if there's CPCs that are, or big supporters that are medium-sized companies. How did they do it? And how, you know, if I could act as an advocate for SWE through my company, what would that look like? So I guess that's why I didn't mention that as an area to go into my passion. But I mean, it's a passion, but I just don't know how to get there. You know, so I guess if there were tools to get closer to that, you know, and develop the, you know, the mentors and the advocates and those things whenever I hear those discussions, I'm not sure if those individuals were always like that, or if there was some aha moment that got them to a point saying, okay, well, we need to do this to get more parity or to get the diverse groups. So you know, I don't have much choice of who the CEO of my company is. Mm-hmm. And I don't wish to talk down on him, but I mean, he's got the right ideas, but how do you bring that to fruition and mm-hmm. take it from this is what we're doing to these are the steps you take to get to that point?
Okay.
So I guess if there was something, yeah, I'd like to see from SWE, if there was some, and I know there probably isn't a step-by-step, but just some ideas of how to bring that around for where you live.
Mm-hmm. Sure, you know? Sure. Looking back at your career, mm-hmm. Is there any advice that you would give to your younger self?
I guess just, you know, you don't know where the next opportunity is going to show up. And like I said, I can't say I always had the confidence in it. So I just, I'm not very articulate at this point. I just to have the confidence that you can do, you know, just kind of to really go after more stretch goals and not be in a comfort zone. But I guess I didn't really know from my background, I didn't know what engineering was going to look like. You know, I mean, I knew my studies and things like that. So I guess just to really seek those challenges and be more, a little more outgoing than I probably was in the start.
Okay. So. Okay. Is there any advice that you give to current or future engineers, you know, to the next generation? Is there any advice that you give during outreach events?
I don't know. All the women engineers that have been my interns have been awesome, awesome additions to our group. So it's mm-hmm. at some point I was just like, gosh, I wish I was like that. you know, I guess if somebody asks for advice, you know, it kind of depends on the personality. But like I said, the engineers that I've had have just been just really just outstanding. It's like, gosh, I wish I had half of the confidence that some of these women had. And it's kind of funny. It's like, it seems like after hiring, we did hire one of the interns. It was kind of like after that experience of having just really strong women engineers, sometimes like, you know, some of the guys, it's like, even the male, we usually team interview. And even some of the male, interviewees kind of quote kind of say good kind of, you know, doesn't really compare to the ones, you know, we've already but so I guess I can't really think of anything off the top, but just, you know, be confident in your abilities. You know, if you've gotten through the curriculums you did, you know, I mean, it's, you're going to do fine. I guess just have confidence that you are where you should be. You know, you belong here as much as anyone else.
Okay. Is there anything else you would like to add?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.